Hey, this is Keith from Cavalytics. I experienced some microphone issues around 3 minutes into this podcast that lasts for a couple minutes, and I wanted to apologize for that and let you know that it does get better around the 5:45 mark. We're also working on getting a better audio setup in general, so hopefully we'll get there soon. Without further ado, episode 5. Hello, and welcome to episode 5 of Cavalytics, a podcast about the NBA's Cleveland Cavaliers with a focus on statistical analysis. We are available on both SoundCloud and iTunes, and we would appreciate likes and good ratings there, only, of course, if you enjoy what we're doing. You can follow us on Twitter at CavalyticsNBA, and you can email us at CavalyticsNBA@gmail.com. We read everything we receive at those two places, and we try to respond to as much as possible. I am Keith Carter. My co-host is Arnav Chabra. We're going to dedicate today's podcast to talking about the upcoming NBA trade deadline and how that may affect our Cavs. How's it going, Arnav?
It's going well. Excited about the All-Star game?
I am. So today is Saturday, February 13th, and tonight is the NBA three-point shooting contest and dunk contest. The Cavs, for the first time in a long time, actually don't have anyone involved in either of those. And for tomorrow's All-Star game, they only have LeBron James on the team. This has been a topic of some hand-wringing. Kevin Love is not an All-Star. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, I mean, I obviously think he should be an All-Star based on all the advanced stats.
Yeah,
and the fact that we are the first team in the East. But
right, yeah, by real plus-minus, he is the fourth best player in the Eastern Conference.
Right. I mean, I'm sure there's some collinearity issues because he does play a lot of minutes with LeBron, but I'm not going to attribute everything to that.
Yeah, I mean, if he were, let's say he were like the 14th best, that might be like worth pointing out, but I mean, he's fourth best. Right. Like in actual terms, he's probably, you know, at least in the top eight. And oddly, the most recent injury replacement was Al Horford, who plays sort of the same position as Kevin Love. They're both power forward centers. And that is Atlanta's second All-Star, so it's just sort of a weird decision by the commissioner. Yeah, I don't get too worked up about these things, and I think that Kevin Love will be best served resting and maybe feeling
offended.
Yeah,
he needs to rest.
And also maybe feeling offended that he wasn't an All-Star. So, you know, this is better for the Cavs, but sort of odd for the NBA.
Yeah, I think both Kevin Love and Kyrie Irving stepped up their play after the All-Star break last season. So,
yeah,
hopefully
yeah.
We see a similar trend this season.
Yeah, I read something. You mentioned this, and maybe you can flesh this out a little bit. Kyrie is working with some coach of the Cavs during the All-Star break?
Yeah, I think Phil Handy. He said he's going to be working one-on-one with him because he was supposed to go to the All-Star game, the coach, because the entire coaching staff goes, right?
But he
decided to stay back and just work with him.
Okay. Did it say anything about what they're going to be working on?
No,
defense,
but I assume defense is one of them, and then
yeah,
his shooting, his 3-point shooting, and then just you know, playmaking, decision making, etc.
Yeah, we were talking about this a little bit before we started recording here. So Kyrie, his shooting has been down since he returned from injury, but over the last, well, since February 1, it's been sort of encouraging. His true shooting percentage in January is like 64%, which is obviously not sustainable, but extremely good. And he is up to, in February, he's shooting 39.4% from three, which is lower than last year's season average, but he started the month 1-for-4, 1-for-4, and then 0-for-2. So, look, there's some sample size issues here, but at least his shooting seems to be trending in the right direction.
Right. I think he's definitely trending upwards. It's just a matter of if he can do this consistently. Because he did have a few good games, even amidst his slump at the beginning of the season. Like, he had that Washington game. He took over the entire fourth quarter.
Right.
And even in the Spurs game, he was excellent in the fourth quarter. But it's just been a matter of consistency for him so far. So he's going to have, like, you know, two good games in a row, and then he'll put up three stinkers after that.
Right. Yeah. I'm
remaining patient with him.
We'll see. I mean, who knows what's going to happen.
The Cavs are going to keep starting him. Any talk of putting Sterling in the starting lineup was sort of nonsense.
We'll just have to see over the next couple of months how he runs into shape.
Yeah, it's just a matter of him having a much, much higher ceiling than Dellavedova.
Right, why you just keep starting him.
I mean, at some point, obviously, if it comes playoffs and he's playing much worse than Delhi, there's no point. You're not going to start him anymore.
But
I don't think it's going to get to that.
Yeah, I don't either.
Okay, there was one other thing I wanted to get into before we get into the trade stuff. Did you see this article in the Sports Business Daily yesterday about television ratings?
Yeah, I saw that the Cavs typically have a lot of viewers in Cleveland. Was that the conclusion there?
They listed a couple things. The thing that was called out on Reddit was the Cavs in their local market have higher ratings than any other team in the NBA. So the Cavs are number one at 99.4% rating. Actually, I don't know if that's percent. It's 9.4. I don't know what the units are there. The Spurs are 8.7 and the Warriors are 8.4. So the Cavs in their local market are the most popular team. That's somewhat interesting, but not terribly surprising. Cleveland is sort of a smaller town and the Cavs are like a big focus for most of the people that live there. So I'm not surprised by that. The thing that I thought was interesting is...
Spurs would be higher, right?
I guess you would expect Spurs to be higher, but look, they've been good for 20 years now, right?
Yeah, that's true.
There's probably some fatigue there. And they're still third. The more interesting thing was, in terms of absolute audience size, the Cavs are third. So the Warriors are first, the Knicks are second, which makes sense. Like, the Bay Area and the New York metropolitan areas are both enormous. You would expect them to have big absolute audience sizes, but the Cavs are third. Bulls are fourth and Lakers are fifth. So that really sort of like puts into perspective like how obsessed people in Cleveland are with the Cavs.
What's the Bulls' relative number?
Let me
see. Compared to their size.
The Bulls are not in the top five or bottom five, and that's all they listed. So they're somewhere in the middle. Yeah.
Anyway. I feel like they've lost a big part of their fan base. Not lost, but they've at least pissed off a lot of people this season.
Yeah, the Bulls have been up and down, and the Derrick Rose saga is starting to grow tiresome. So I'm not surprised that,
right.
As a percentage base, they're not in the top five. All right, well, so let's move on. You want to introduce this trade segment?
Yeah, so I thought that today we could talk about, since the trading deadline is coming up pretty soon, thought we could sort of start off by listing what assets we have. And then who some of our tradable players are, and then what are some possible options that we can get either in trades or by signing off free agents or by receiving players as part of the traded player exceptions that we have.
Okay. And the trade deadline is next Thursday. Is that right?
Right.
Okay. Is it Thursday at noon or something, or is it Thursday after the game? I know the Cavs have a game next Thursday.
I think it's noon. I remember it being crazy last time, and it was around noon.
Yeah. I remember hanging out on Twitter and Reddit as that was like ticking down, and
last year was kind of historically crazy, though, right? The trading deadline with the number of players that got traded.
Yeah, I this is a little bit embarrassing. I remember that being the narrative, but I can't even remember a single one of the moves that was made. Can you?
On the trading deadline?
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember some of them.
You're younger than me, so your memory's better. Fire away.
I think, was Dragic traded before that?
No, I think he was traded to the Heat on the last day.
Yeah, so he was obviously one of them. And then the Cavs didn't get anyone, right?
Yeah, they made the Mozgov and then the...
But that was before.
Well, first they made the J.R. Smith, Iman Shumpert trade, and then the Mozgov trade.
Yeah, the Mozgov trade happened, was it maybe 3 or 4 days after? It was fairly immediate.
Right.
Anyway, so we can get started here.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, so I figured we would list our assets in the beginning. So we do not have a first-round draft pick this season. So at the end of the season, when the draft happens, we're not going to be picking for the first round. We traded that draft pick to Phoenix, and that one went via Boston.
Okay.
Next season, we do have a draft pick, the first-round draft pick, but we cannot trade it because you can't trade your draft picks 2 years in a row.
Yeah, the NBA implemented a rule where you cannot trade your first-round draft pick 2 years in a row because bad ownership and management groups were basically mortgaging the future for the present in such a way that it screwed the team for like a decade, so they added that rule.
Like the Brooklyn Nets.
Right, exactly.
Anyway, so we don't have that option. So we cannot trade the 2017 draft pick, but we can trade our first-round draft pick in 2018. So that's our best draft pick asset, essentially. And then we have a bunch of second-round draft picks. So we have a second-round draft pick this season, next season, and then we don't have one till 2019 after that.
Okay. Yeah, the first-round pick in 2018 is an interesting one. It's a little bit hard to handicap. I mean, if LeBron declines and Kyrie and Love end up, you know, being injured or not a great fit, you can imagine that pick being sort of in the mid-teens.
Right.
But probably it'll be in the low 20s or worse. Plus it's in 2018, so you're looking for a team that is like, you know, sort of maybe mortgaging the present for the future. But okay, anyway, all right, what else do we have?
Also, just on that note, our draft pick this season is top 10 protected, but it doesn't really matter for us because we're not going to be in the lottery, so it's going to go away.
Right. Okay, then, so if the Cavs finish as one of the top, or if their draft pick ends up being one of the top 10, then the Cavs get to pick their keep their pick. I think they may actually already be out of contention for that. The Cavs have, what, 36 wins?
Yeah, that's probably already out.
I think even if they lost every game for the rest of the season, they would not finish in the bottom 10. But anyway. Okay.
Unless the other teams win everything, but which is not going to happen. But yeah, right. You get the point.
Right, yeah, I mean, it's possible the Sixers speaking, could win every game and we could lose every game. It's possible.
Yeah. Realistically, we're not going to get this pick.
Right.
Okay, and then after that, we have two big traded player exceptions. So one of them came from us offloading Brendan Hale to the Trailblazers, if I remember correctly. And that one is about $10.5 million.
Okay.
And then the other one came from offloading Mike Miller. And that one is about $2.85 million. So with these, receive players up to that amount plus $100,000. So we can receive someone up to $10.6 million from the Haywood exception and someone up to $2.95 million from the Mike Miller exception.
Okay.
And there's a lot of rules along with that go along with these traded player exceptions. So you can't combine them. So these have to be used separately. So you can't get a player that's worth, what is it, $13 million.
Okay, so they cannot combine the two traded player exceptions. Can they sign a player with the traded player? So let's say somebody's a free agent.
No, you cannot sign free agents either. So it has to be someone who's claimed off of waivers, basically.
Okay.
So if someone gets waived, they have a few days to clear waivers, right? So during that period, they could sign someone for their original contract.
Okay.
But you can't essentially sign a free agent.
Okay. So if, for example, the New Jersey Nets waive Joe Johnson, we could claim him off waivers using our the big trade.
Actually, we can't, right? Because we don't have an exception that large.
Okay. I'm looking it up right now to see how much he's getting paid. This is going to be ugly.
He's going to be over $20 million. He's making over $20 million this season.
He is making $24,894,863.
No one's claiming him off the waiver, so he's going to be a free agent.
Okay, so the Cavs would only be able to offer him the veteran's minimum. Okay, yeah, I get it.
Otherwise, they could offer the mini MLE, but they've already used part of that to, I think, Mo Williams, if I remember correctly. So at this point, they have part of the mini MLE left, but that's about the same size as the veteran minimum. So they only have the veteran minimum to offer.
Okay.
Okay, and then they have players, obviously, that they can trade. But that's going to be separate from the traded player exceptions because you cannot combine a player with the TPE.
Okay. Can you use the TPE to line up salaries? So, like, let's say they want to trade, say, Mo Williams for, say, Kyle Korver, and there's a $3 million gap in salaries. Are they allowed to use the TPE to bridge that gap?
They can just add a pick, and then the other team would get a TPE. It's kind of how you get a TPE, right? It's if there's a salary gap.
Okay, so they'll just put in, you know, some second-round draft pick in the 2030s, and
yeah, and then obviously the other team has to agree to that. That's why these kind of trades don't happen that often.
Right. Yeah. Okay. All right. I think I understand. What do we have in terms of player assets?
Yeah. So I mean, we can go through sort of the hierarchy of players that we have. So LeBron is, I think, is pretty much untouchable at this point.
I would say trading LeBron James is improbable.
Yeah. I mean, I think the only player you would probably accept is Steph Curry at this point, and that's not happening either way. So.
Right.
He's not moving anywhere. Then yeah. After that, we have the almost untouchables. I think we kind of discussed this the other day, and I think Matthew Dellavedova is definitely one of these. He's not going to be traded either because his contract for the value he's providing is just too good. He's making, what is it, $800,000?
Yeah, his gap in RPM and contract value might be one of the biggest in the NBA.
He's definitely one of the – it was one of the better ones last year, and he wasn't that good last year because he was making so little.
Right.
This season, he's definitely one of the best.
Yep.
If not the best. So yeah, he's not moving anywhere, mostly because of financial reasons. And
right.
Of course he's good, but he's good for so cheap.
The reason why he's not tradable is not just because of his skill level,
his contract is just amazing.
And we have he's a restricted free agent.
And he's going to be a restricted free agent at the end of the season, so we can keep him, which I think is going to be important because I don't think Mo Williams is sticking around for a while.
No, I don't either. Okay, so...
And then Kyrie Irving is probably almost untouchable at this point. I think you would consider a Kyrie for CPT Chris Paul trade, but beyond that, I don't think you're going to get anything, a big enough haul where you would consider trading Kyrie Irving.
Yeah, I would like
because
to
of a ceiling.
I would like to talk about a possible Chris Paul Kyrie Irving trade, but let's finish going through the assets first.
Yeah, and then Kevin Love, I think he is tradable for the right haul, but I don't think we're going to get anything at this point.
Yeah, I think as a matter of practicality, Kevin Love will not be traded, but yeah. I don't think the Cavs are hanging up the phone on people calling with offers.
I think they should not be hanging up the phone for anyone non-named LeBron. That's the thing. I think they should be listening to offers, even for Kyrie. Like, if you could get Chris Paul, I think that's a very good offer. We can discuss whether we should do it or not, but I think that's a legitimate offer they should listen to.
I agree.
Right. And then likely untradeable, Tristan Thompson. I think that's a lot of it has to do with his contract this season, especially. He's making over $13 million, which is not going to be a lot with the new cap. But at least this season, it's a lot. So I don't see him being traded. He's also kind of a limited player in terms of versatility.
Yeah.
So teams are not going to look to build around him. He's going to be more of a complimentary piece.
I agree. I feel like Thompson is an outstanding piece on a top five roster. And he will become more valuable as his contract goes on. But right now, he is overpaid. And the kind of team that would be looking to acquire somebody like Tristan Thompson is a team like us. he's not, again, for matters of practicality, is sort of untradeable.
Yeah, we're not going to give him up to a team that we're going to be competing with in the playoffs either. So,
right.
Also, he's the reason we signed him was a lot of it because it was rebounding, but also because of his pick and roll defense, because we know Kevin Love is fairly deficient in that aspect. So we're not going to give him up that easily because of everything he offers to us.
Yeah, I mean, especially if it comes down to Cavs-Warriors in the finals, Tristan Thompson will be an incredibly
important
piece.
He's definitely going to be a starting center. He might even be the power forward in crunch time situations, but we'll have to see. It's hard to tell right now.
Yep.
And then tradable players, but likely to stay because of contracts and also because of, I guess, kind of versatility they give us. But again, they're definitely more tradable than Tristan Thompson, I would say.
Sure.
Is J.R. Smith, I think, and then Iman Shumpert.
Yeah, those two guys are...
They're definitely tradable. I'm not going to say that we're not going to trade them at any cost. We're definitely going to be looking to... We're definitely going to be looking for offers for them, but I don't think... I think they're going to end up staying in a Cavs uniform.
Yeah, it's going to be hard to... The Cavs might like to try to consolidate J.R. Smith and Iman Shumpert into one player who's a little bit better than either of them, but I don't think that's going to be possible. And so...
Yeah, I think just from a realistic aspect, I don't think they're going to be moving any... Because J.R. Smith is actually playing really well right now.
He is.
He had a terrible start, but he's moved on since that. So he's been an important asset.
Yeah. Yeah, Shumpert, on the other hand, has been a little bit disappointing this year, but,
he's been very disappointing, but we know what he can do, at least on the defensive end, come playoff time, and he's going to be very important there. So they're not going to get rid of their second-best wing defender.
Right.
And then people who are freely tradable. So I think these are going to be the guys that you shouldn't expect to see in a Cavs uniform for much longer, which, of course, they still might be, but I think they're, yeah, they're well, the one most
if they are, it'll be because other teams don't want them.
Don't want
because
them.
We
exactly.
didn't try to trade them.
So Mozgov, he can easily be gone.
Yep.
Mo Williams, he's tradable. Anderson Varejao, he might not be tradable because of that contract of his, but I think they're going to be looking for offers for
the him. Cavs would love to get rid of his contract. I mean, right. the luxury tax savings alone make dumping him for free attractive.
Richard Jefferson, he can definitely be gone. James Jones, I think they probably won't send him because of he's kind of LeBron's friend, and he's also a very good veteran presence.
And
he kind of stepped up in the playoffs, right?
He did.
Yeah, seems like a smart guy in general. And he's making the veteran minimum, so I doubt they would get rid of him, to be honest with you.
Right.
And then they have Sasha Khan, which is whatever. He's nothing at this point.
Right, and the infamous Jared Cunningham.
Jared Cunningham, too.
Human turnover machine. Yeah, I mean, look, Cunningham. I mean, look, if the Cavs make a trade, I would be surprised if one or both of them aren't gone because just
they'll be fillers,
salaries
right?
match.
They're
yeah,
not
exactly.
going to be, yeah. Exactly. They're not going to be pieces.
Right.
Core pieces of a trade.
Okay. I just wanted to, okay, so I think everything you said there made sense. I just wanted to say a couple more things about Mozgov. So Mozgov has been obviously very disappointing this year. I actually looked this up yesterday. I'm going to look it up real quickly here. He was in, I think he was, in terms of real plus minus for centers last season, he was, let's see here, he was the 11th best center in the NBA. This season, he is, he's not even on the first page anymore. He's the 69th best center, or in other words, the 8th worst center in the NBA.
Excuse me.
Bless you. By real plus minus. And so, I mean, it's sort of, I mean, who is he, right? Is he the 11th best center or is he the 8th worst? Like, the reality is probably somewhere in between. But the Cavs don't really have... You know, he had off-season knee surgery, so maybe some of it's that. Maybe some of that is, you know, finding the right fit for him. Maybe some of that is, you know, like mental or psychological. Like, his confidence seems to be a little bit shaken. But in any case, the Cavs don't really have that much time to be patient on this. He's going to be an unrestricted... free agent after this season, right? He's unrestricted.
Yeah, he's going to be unrestricted. So
I mean, you know, he's going to get a big pay raise, and you know, the Cavs are already.
Is he?
Well, who knows? Who knows? You're right. Okay, the potential for him even getting the same amount of money has bad luxury tax implications for the Cavs. And if his play level is sort of ambiguous, it's going to make it really tricky for the Cavs. You can see why the Cavs might want to trade him for a more reliable asset.
Yeah, he's just been too inconsistent. I mean, you'll see one or two games, you know, where he plays like the Mozgov of old, but
yeah,
he has not given any production consistently.
Yeah.
He's going to be, and he wasn't even that playable in the finals. He was very good offensively, but his on-off rating kind of suggested that they were kind of empty numbers, and whenever he was on the floor, the Warriors were just scoring and putting him in bad situations.
Yes, he was unable to play the kind of defense that I think is necessary against what I call the Warriors' gimmick lineup, which is unfortunately their best and most likely to be played lineup in the finals, which is where they play Draymond Green, who is 6'7" at center. Okay, so those are our assets. Let's sort of move into who we think might be good trade partners. Do you have anything in mind?
Yeah, we could start with the. Do you want to start with the what we can get for the TPE, or do you want to just start with trading partners?
Like, well,
because you can't combine the TPE, so that's going to be independent of anything else, right?
Yeah, let's start with the TPE because I think that's probably the most likely thing to. I would be shocked if the Cavs don't find a way to use their TBE before it expires.
They have a full year, by the way, so they can also use it in the summer.
They can, but I think they want to use it now.
They're all in for the season.
The window is now.
Yeah.
So I have a couple players in mind. I know you do too, but why don't you go ahead?
Yeah. So I think one possibility is. Is Kyle Korver. Looks like Atlanta may not be... I think they're in the hunt for the playoffs at least, but they know that their window has kind of closed already. So they might be looking to blow things up, as you can tell by their aggressive hunting for someone for Jeff Teague.
Yes, and there's also rumors of a Horford trade.
Horford trade, and then so I think they might be looking to even get rid of Kyle Korver, and Kyle Korver has regressed since last season.
Yeah, so let's quantify that a little bit. So Kyle Korver has really been having sort of an awful season. Last year he was, let me just pull this up. Last year he was the third best shooting guard in the NBA by real plus minus. And this year he has had like an incredible drop off. This year he is the 30th best. He's gone from a real plus minus of 5.4 to this season, his real plus minus is negative 0.95.
Yeah, I mean, he was really good last season. I think people even underestimated his impact a little bit when they were making fun of his All-Star selection. I think he was very important to that team last year.
He was stunningly good. I mean,
he had what, 70-plus true shooting percentage or something?
Yes.
Yeah, the volume wasn't that high, but it was still like 13 points where he could just bang out those points, right? And he was shooting 50% from three.
Yeah, he shot 49.2% from three, shot 90% from the line. I mean, he was... his season last year was historic.
Right.
It's sort of, you know, obscured by what Steph did, but his shooting last year was unbelievable. But yeah, so last year he shot 49% from three. This year he's shooting 38.7, although he's been better lately. His free throw percentage, and free throw percentage is sort of an odd thing to use, as it always has some perturbations, but he's shooting 83% this year, which is 5% below his career average of 88%. I read something about Korver tried to change something with his shooting form, but he has since gone back to what he was doing before.
I read about that too, that he tried to change his shooting form because of the injury, but then apparently he's healed now, so he's just gone back to his original.
Yeah, which may explain why he's been shooting better lately. Do you think that he will clear waivers?
Korver?
Yeah.
He's making, what, $5 million?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, he doesn't have to clear... They don't have to waive him, right? They can just give him to us. They can trade him to us for the TPE.
That's true. That's a good point. Especially if they decide to blow it up and save money. Well, I mean, look, if they trade Horford, right, then...
Yeah, they've pretty much given up on the season.
They may get into money-saving mode.
Yeah.
But... Yeah, I mean, getting Korver for free would obviously be quote-unquote free, would be a huge add. I'm just not sure. Well, I mean, look, I would ascribe like maybe a 10% chance to that.
I don't think it's that likely, but it's also not extremely unlikely right. Either. What do you think of a possibility of getting Trevor Ariza? I don't think we're going to get him off of TPEs. I think we're going to have to give up some assets for it. One asset that I forgot to mention is that we have this international player whose name is Osman. You remember? We drafted him last season.
Okay.
Chetty Osman. And supposedly he's one of the best players internationally right now.
Huh.
So it's a possibility that some teams may be looking for him. And he wants to come to the U.S. 2 years from now. So he could end up being someone like Mirotic or one of the other players who are coming from overseas.
So we're able to trade the rights to sign him? Is that how that works?
Exactly, yeah. So we have the rights to sign him 2 years or whenever he wants to come here.
Okay.
So we can trade his rights away.
Yeah. Okay, well, Ariza is another interesting guy. So last year he was seventh best small forward by RPM. This year he has been awful. He's the 58th best small forward by RPM.
How much do you think has to do with his individual level of play going down?
Know.
And just
I
the
mean,
team
look,
being...
The Rockets are...
They're not even 500 anymore.
The Rockets are a dumpster fire right now.
Yeah.
Harden's defense has gone from atrocious to... I don't know what's worse than atrocious. Historically bad, inexcusable, deplorable, unethical. Yeah, I don't know what to say. Like his defense is so bad. And yeah, they don't really have synergies between Howard and Harden. It's a big mess. So yeah, it's hard to know whether, you know, the players who are surrounded by that are, you know, can be blamed for a fall off in their play. Ariza is not that young. I mean, he's 30. So, you know, maybe some of his drop off is age related. I'm not sure. But the thing I like about Ariza is that he can shoot the three and he can play defense.
Right. At least historically, he's shown to be able to do both. And there's reason to believe that he's going to be getting pretty wide open shots in Cleveland.
Right.
Which I'm sure he can shoot. What's he shooting right now? Was it 38% last I checked?
From three, he's shooting 37.7. Yeah, 38%.
Yeah, it's a 38%. So he's that would be what? The fourth best shooter on our team? I think the best is Deli, then is JR. And then I think, that might be the third best shooter on our team, right?
Yeah, I mean, he's had some years where he shot 41% as recently as 13-14 with the Wizards. So I think there's some upside there if he can be turned into someone who's just basically a spot, you know, a catch and shoot guy.
And then he can defend, so that's the best part of it. Right. And he's a tall guy.
Yeah, he is 6'8", 215, so he has some size. Yeah, I mean, I think he would be an outstanding piece to use against the Warriors.
So what do you think we can give up for him? Or what would you be willing to part? I think Mozgov might be an important one here because I think they might be... It seems like they're looking to get rid of Howard, at which point they would need some sort of a center or backup center option because I think they might be looking to move up Capella to their center.
I mean, it's been widely reported that the Rockets are looking to trade Howard. If they trade Howard, they would go into a mode where they're not trying to win this year. Mozgov may be intriguing for them because his contract...
It's pretty cheap right now. It's only $5 million. He's not making
a
lot.
Well, yeah, I mean, but also he's a free agent. So if the Rockets want to go out and try and sign other people in free agency this coming offseason, they'd be able to.
They can just let him walk, right? It doesn't matter.
Right.
Yeah, I think Mozgov might be an important one. Maybe they haven't picked up on Mo Williams' defense and will be willing to take him. Who knows?
They might. I mean, yeah, look, we're sort of in like dreamland here where we're like able to get rid of, you know, Mo Williams and Mozgov and pick up Trevor Ariza. Ariza's contract, I wanted to make sure that Ariza isn't a free agent. Ariza is signed for two more seasons after this one.
Yeah, so that's one of the best parts of his contract,
Rockets,
is that he's actually signed,
Yeah, from our perspective, that's good. From the Rockets' perspective, that's bad. Like, if they're trying to save money, Ariza does not help them do that. Ariza is an intriguing possibility.
We can always give up any of the one of the draft picks that we have, the 2018 one, or we can give up Chetty Osman. Maybe the Rockets see something. And they have been known to bring players from overseas, so it's possible.
Right. Yeah. Ariza would be great.
Here's a question: would you give up Shumpert for Trevor Ariza? He's a better 3-point shooter, and he might be. Probably not as good of a defender in certain situations, but at least he's good enough. And he's taller than Iman Shumpert.
Boy, I don't know. I mean, Shumpert is a full 5 years younger.
Yeah, see, that's a big advantage that Shumpert has.
And
we paid him a ton of money specifically for that reason. We gave him, what, $8 million or something?
Yeah, Shumpert is making $9 million this year, $9.7 million the year after, $10.3 million the year after, and $11 million the year after. So he has a long contract, which, depending on who Shumpert really is, I'm saying something very obvious here. Will either be good or bad for the team. I think I like Shumpert's upside over Trevor Ariza.
Yeah, I think he's 5 years younger. The 5 years is just way too much.
Yeah.
My only issue is that he's super.
He's
super injury prone. Yes. Extremely injury prone. I don't think I've ever seen a guy who's had this many injuries by this age.
Yeah, I mean,
he's broken every part of his body.
He has the groin and the wrist.
The wrist. He had the ACL injury a while ago.
Right.
I think the only thing that's left is Achilles at this point for him.
Right. Yeah. I do have concerns about his ability to stay on the court, but I think.
Yeah, I would be very wary of that trade.
Right.
And it might piss off J.R. Smith for some reason. So
another reason for optimism about players who have early injury issues is That means that they haven't been able to fully exploit their growth curves. So there may be some growth in Iman's skill set that he hasn't yet been able to realize because he just simply hasn't been able to practice that much.
Obviously, he's nowhere as good as Steph Curry, but Steph Curry is a good example of that, right? Like his growth curve happened later than usually does for superstars. Right.
Steph hit
and that's mostly because of his injury issues.
Right. Yeah. I mean,
I'm sure he would have peaked earlier if he hadn't had all these.
Yeah, or peaked and sustained. Yeah.
Peaked and sustained. I don't mean like peak and drop off, but he would have at least peaked earlier.
Yeah, I agree. Okay, there's a couple other. Well, okay, so there are the big trade rumors, and the thing that everybody talks about with the Cavs in the media because it's the most interesting is Kevin Love, and is he available, and you know what could the Cavs get for him? The two things I have seen most often talked about. Well, the first, which I like a little bit less, we'll do that one first, is with Boston, and the sort of framework of the deal I've seen is Kevin Love for Jay Crowder, Marcus Smart, and then maybe David Lee to make the salaries match. How does that deal make you feel?
We get Marcus Smart and Jay Crowder.
Yes.
I think at that point we'd be investing more in the future than the current season, which I don't know if is a good idea. So I think it depends, right? Like I think that would be a pretty good deal for the future because I think Marcus Smart has a pretty good upside and Jay Crowder is also fairly young and he's one of the better RPM players this season. If I remember, he's like top 20 in RPM or something.
Crowder is the sixth best small forward. And he is the 32nd best player. Overall.
Right. What's he shooting from three? Can you look that up?
I can. He is shooting 35.2% from three.
Right, which is, I mean, serviceable at least.
And he's 25 years old.
Yeah, and then Marcus Smart is, what, 22 or something?
Smart is significantly younger. So Smart is the 24th best point guard by RPM. And he is... he is 21. He turns 22 on March 6th.
Yeah, with Smart, though, there's an injury issue that you have to account for.
There is.
But again, you said he's young, so it's possible that he can get over it.
Yeah, I mean, you know a lot more about the Celtics than I do. Here's what I know about Jay Crowder. He, I think, would be good against Draymond Green. But figuring out a way to, like, basically... I mean, look, we can't play Marcus Smart, right? Like, he's good, but we already have two point guards who are hopefully better.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, Dele is already
I think that would be
better.
A move for the future rather than it would be for the current season. I don't think we should do that for this season. And depending on how long you believe LeBron's going to be a top five player, you either make that move or you don't. And I don't think you should because I don't think LeBron's going to be a top five for definitely not more than 3 or 4 years.
I agree with that, except I want to caveat with one thing. So based on what I know about Kevin Love, I would not make that deal. I would hope that the Cavs analytics department knows what Kevin Love's true talent level is.
Right.
If his true talent level is, you know, as I said, the fourth best player in the East, or anywhere close to that, then like trading Love is just completely off the table.
But if it should be off the table.
But if the Cavs, you know, through their own analytics, and you know, they should be teasing out collinearity issues with, you know, they should be making sure that Love is not looking good because he's on the court with LeBron. They should be, you know, making sure that he's good because he's actually good. If the Cavs, for whatever reason, believe that Love is not, you know, say a top 20 player in the NBA, then. I would be more interested in this trade because I think that one of Crowder or Smart has the upside to get to that level. But, you know, as I said, based on what I know and the analytics that I have access to and, you know, my parsing of those numbers, I don't think that Love should be traded for that
package. Yeah, I don't think he should either. And the other trade I think that's been rumored in the media has been a Love for Melo. Is that correct? I think Love would go to Boston. Boston would send a bunch of stuff to New York, and then
Frank Isola, who's he's a beat reporter for the Knicks, and
he's kind of a troll though. He messes around a lot.
He's a well-known troll. I mean, he makes stuff up, and look, I don't know the extent of the meta on Frank Isola, but I do know that he is not the most reliable of source. He tweeted yesterday that the Knicks are considering a three-way trade that would involve Carmelo Anthony and the Cleveland Cavaliers. It did not say that it would necessarily include Kevin Love, but I think we can assume.
So there were some comments today by LeBron and by Melo. I don't know if you saw those.
I saw Carmelo's say.
Yeah, so LeBron no also said. Yeah, so someone asked LeBron that is this Melo for Love deal actually going to happen or not? LeBron was like, it's not. He just basically rejected it. I don't know what, I mean, obviously, I'm sure LeBron would be privy to any details about such a big trade happening. So.
Right. Well, I mean, look, yeah, I mean, that doesn't mean it's a fact, but that's interesting directionally.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, it's his best friend, right? So, and he has a no trade clause. So for him to be traded, he has to waive that clause. So right. He can easily ask him, text him, be like, hey, are you going to waive your no trade clause or not?
Right. Yeah, I mean, look, Carmelo's in a weird position, right? So Carmelo is paid a ton of money. He signed through 2018-2019.
He's not that good anymore.
He's not that great anymore.
He's good, but he's like, he's pretty good. Like, he's what, 7th or 8th, I think, in RPM for small forwards, which is good. It's an important piece.
And you can imagine his upside being higher than that. But
yeah, you can imagine him.
His defense is classically, tragically not very good.
But he's good. He's a good post defender. He's a big guy, so he can keep guys.
He is, and.
But he's not very good at the pick and roll, which has kind of been our issue. So, he wouldn't help us in that department.
Yeah, I am not interested in trading Kevin Love for Carmelo Anthony.
Oh no, I'm not either.
I am interested in acquiring Carmelo Anthony for basically free. So if they would take, I don't know, Anderson Varejao, and if they just basically want to make a straight salary dump, they want to get rid of Carmelo Anthony's salary so that they can be more flexible going forward, then I would talk to them. But and that might be why a three-way trade is necessary.
Right.
But let's be realists here.
It's not going to happen. Right?
Frank Isola probably made that up.
Yeah.
I also don't
see that happening because they're a young team. And obviously, Kristaps is probably going to be their core of the future. So they're looking to surround him with challenges. So they're going to be looking for picks and stuff.
Yeah.
And Melo can certainly land them picks.
I can imagine the Knicks wanting to get younger and more flexible, and in which case trading Carmelo should be, A1A on their to-do list.
But they're not going to dump him for nothing, right?
Right, exactly. Yeah. They're going to try and get assets.
Yeah, so I think Carmelo, if we had to describe a percentage, it would be less than 1%.
Yeah, I think so too. I don't think that's going to happen.
And then the next couple of options I want to discuss are Joe Johnson and PJ Tucker. So what do you think of Joe Johnson in general?
Well, hold on. Before we get to, I want to talk about both those guys too. But there was one other Kevin Love trade that I thought was sort of compelling. It was mentioned on Nate Duncan's Dunked On podcast. Which was a terrific podcast. It was 2.5 hours, and they had 4 people on it, and each one of them took the top teams in the East, one of them took the bottom teams in the East, one took top teams in the West, bottom teams in the West, and they all sort of acted as those teams' GMs and tried to work out deals. They worked out a deal for Kevin Love, and it was with the Denver Nuggets, and the Cavs traded, the deal was as follows. They traded Kevin Love, Anderson Varejao, Sasha Kaun, and the Cavs 2019, one of the Cavs 2019 second round picks, for Danilo Gallinari, Will Barton, J.J. Hickson, and Joffrey Lavergne. And
that's not bad.
It's not bad. Let's focus on sort of the principles there. So it's basically Love for Gallinari, Barton,
and Barton.
And Barton.
Barton's good though.
He is.
I remember looking it up today. His RPM is what is it? Top 20 for shooting guards or something?
Yes.
For small forwards.
It is, and he's young.
Yeah, and he's young, and he's probably going to be he's been one of the most improved players this season, so.
Right. The question is, I'm asking you this question. I don't know what I think about it. I'm curious on your thoughts. Do you think Danilo Gallinari would be a better fit on offense for the Cavs?
How old is he again?
He's, I think, late 20s, maybe. Maybe he's 30. I'm checking.
No, he's not 30. He's pretty young.
He's much younger than I thought. He is 27 years, 189 days old.
So he's about the same age as Kevin Love.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah, so I think for compatibility on offense, it all depends on how much Kyrie Irving and LeBron James are willing to concede. It's totally dependent on them. I think nobody would fit if they just keep pounding the ball and if they keep dominating the ball and are not willing to move off the ball. I don't think
well,
you can find
the right,
a better...
the right fit for that kind of thing would be an elite three-point
shooter. Sure, sure. An elite three-point shooter and elite defender. So like a 3
right.
and D.
Yes.
Maybe like, what's his name? From Oklahoma
City.
Kawhi
Leonard.
Huh?
Kawhi Leonard.
Yeah, sure. But also, what's the guy from Oklahoma? Ibaka.
Oh, so yeah.
Serge Ibaka would be great because he shoots about 33. He's not a lead from three-point line, but he's like 37.
Right, but he can contribute on offense without needing to.
And he's an excellent defender. I mean, he's one of the best rim protectors.
Right.
From the power forward position, which is excellent. So I would do the, I would try to get Ibaka if that's possible, but if we can't do that, I think Kevin Love is probably one of the better fits. But it's all dependent on whether LeBron and Kyrie are willing to incorporate him or not.
Yeah, the problem the Cavs have, and we're getting sort of deep into analysis here, but yeah, you know, LeBron and Kyrie both hold the ball a lot more than other typical players for their positions, and so. Incorporating other offensive pieces is a little bit tricky because, you know, some of the elite offensive players in the league need the ball to be able to create their shot, and that's not really an opportunity that fits well. That's not really a paradigm that fits well with the Cavs. So it's tough.
Yeah, I wish LeBron would play mostly off ball at this point. I know, like, he loves to hold the ball in the fourth quarter, which is fine. You can let him do that if he wants to, but I think in general, he's such a force off the ball when he's cutting to the basket, when he's moving around, when he's, you know, confusing defenses. And he's not that good with the ball in his hand anymore.
Yeah, I agree. Okay, all right. So for the sake of argument, on offense, I know what you think on defense. I know you think Kevin Love is better, and I agree. But on offense, do you think that Gallinari would be an upgrade over Love?
I think it would be kind of similar. They shoot about the same from three. They have kind of similar skill sets on the inside. I don't think it would be much of a downgrade or an upgrade.
Yeah, I think Gallinari is a slightly better shooter and offensive creator.
Slightly better shooter, yeah.
And a significantly worse passer and creator.
Defender.
But unfortunately, those abilities are not... don't really matter for what the Cavs are currently doing.
Yeah, Will Barton would be good on as a shooting guard or like a small forward. I don't know what his height is, but he would be a good backup. He would be a good replacement for Richard Jefferson.
Right. The other thing about that trade is that the Cavs would save $6 million this year in luxury tax, and they would be liberated of Varejao's contract next season. So that would save them... You know, well, he has $9.4 million guaranteed next year, plus whatever the luxury tax is. So, I mean, it might save the Cavs like $20 million next year, which you could see being attractive. Like, let's say you felt this trade was close, $20 million might make it less close.
Yeah, I don't think it's that close though.
I don't think it's that close either. I think the Cavs believe, and I think they have good reason to believe, that Kevin Love has the upside of, you know, like at least a top 20 and maybe even higher player in the NBA. And so trading him should just generally be off the table. But just for the sake of argument, I wanted to mention this trade that those four guys who do that Dunked On podcast are, you know, all smart and they liked it. So, but I don't think it'll happen.
Yeah, I don't think that this trade's that likely. I think a trade that involves Serge Ibaka would be more feasible, but I don't think OKC is going to get rid of their
Oklahoma
defense.
City thinks they can win this year, and
They're not winning.
Kevin Durant's an unrestricted free agent, so
if they keep giving Enes Kanter and Deion Waiters time, they're not winning anything.
Yeah, you're right. But look, they think they have a chance, and you know this may be their last year with Durant. Like if they start making moves for the future, like I could imagine Durant being like, "All right, well, I'm going to Golden State or DC or something. Anyway, okay, so there is one more big deal I want to talk about, which is the Chris Paul Kyrie Irving possible deal, which will never happen, but I would like to talk about it in concept. But should we talk about some of the other things first, like PJ Tucker?
Yeah, we can quickly discuss them because we're kind of running out of time.
So, yeah, we are.
So with Joe Johnson, there's a possibility that he can be waived. And then he's definitely going to clear waivers because no one's going to sign him for $24 million. So there's a possibility that we could pick him up for the veterans minimum.
I think that Joe Johnson is ours for the taking if we want him. Like, I would be sort of shocked, I guess, if he didn't.
Yeah, I ascribe us picking him up maybe like 20-30%. What do you think?
I think that's about right, and that disappoints me a lot. I don't want.
He's okay. Like, he's shooting better now. It wouldn't be. I don't think it would put us over the top or anything, but it wouldn't be the worst thing in the world, right? Like, you don't have to play him, and he's definitely an upgrade over Richard Jefferson. So,
I mean,
that's about all I can say. And okay. He's a veteran. If it's for the veterans minimum, who cares?
I agree. He is an upgrade over Richard Jefferson. I don't think it's that big of an upgrade. Here's why I don't like Joe Johnson. Two seasons ago, he was 7th in RPM. Last season, he was... sorry, just looking this up on the fly here. He was 20th in RPM. Sorry, for small forwards. And this year, I mean, he's like not even...
He's like 40th.
Yeah, or something like that. I mean... This is taking me a second to find. Yeah, he is.
So he's dropped off. I don't think anyone's going to deny that.
But I
think
it's not just that he's dropped off. It's that the amplitude of his drop off is shocking. I mean, look, we would only be getting him to have him for, 3 months or whatever, and to the extent that he's a small upgrade over Richard Jefferson, like every small amount helps. I just think it's an inconsequential move. And yeah, I guess I'm just hoping the Cavs do something a little bit bigger than that.
Yeah, they can do something bigger, of course. But if there's nothing's happening, they're going to end up just doing that.
I do.
Assuming he gets waived, which I think he will, because there's no reason for the Nets to keep that much salary this season.
They're posturing as if they may not waive him, but I agree, they probably will.
I think they're looking for trades, but that's not happening. No one's taking him for that amount.
Yeah.
And then we can go into the Kyrie Irving and CP3.
Okay. Did you have anything to say about PJ Tucker? I have something to say about him that I just
you can go ahead. I don't have anything to add there.
So, I think PJ Tucker would be PJ Tucker is a power forward, small forward for the Phoenix Suns. Kryptonite doesn't exist, but I think that he is good against Draymond Green.
it because of the size and
I think it's his size and sort of the way he plays If he's available, I think the Cavs should try to get him. I mean,
I actually think we're going to have to put LeBron on Draymond Green in the finals. I think this just LeBron's going to have to suck it up and just play defense on Draymond. Yeah, I think it's going to have to be one of the things we're going to have to do because...
You know, that's an interesting point. I mean,
LeBron can do it. He can definitely do it. There's no way he can't do it. But it's just a matter of if Kyrie Irving and Kevin Love can keep up offensively, he can take a lot bigger role on defense.
Right.
LeBron can.
Right.
Yeah, but anyways, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm being quiet here. It's because I'm thinking about that. Yeah, I mean, LeBron couldn't have done that. I mean, he could have, but it would have gone poorly. He couldn't have done that last finals if he wanted to
because
he was so
no
exhausted
beside him.
Right,
yeah.
Right. He was busy exerting all his effort on offense. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, ideally, the Cavs are in a spot where Kevin Love and Kyrie Irving are like really properly assimilated and effective and efficient on the offense and taking some weight off of LeBron offensively, which, you know, would then allow him to do the thing that nobody has been able to do, which is shut down
the pick and roll of Draymond Green and Steph Curry.
And Steph Curry. Yeah, I mean, yeah. Huh. Yeah, no, that's an interesting thought. There's some reason for hope there.
I mean, if you look at the synergy numbers, LeBron's still one of the best pick and roll defenders. So
yes, he is. LeBron is good at things that he dedicates his time to.
Yeah. If he cares, there's no way he can't stop someone. But it's just a matter of whether he has the energy to do so. He's getting old, right? He doesn't have the same stamina levels.
Right.
He can't sustain the same level for 45 minutes in playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, I've been wanting to do an episode on basically Cavs Warriors maybe we
can do that after.
Yeah, we should do that in a couple weeks.
Yeah,
let things after the, you know, the final rosters are set. Okay, so let's talk about this trade that you sort of brought up to me for the first time, maybe as long as a month ago, which is if the Clippers put it on the table, would you trade Kyrie Irving for Chris Paul?
You know, I think I would, honestly. It's tough.
You would?
Yeah, I think I would. Yep. It would be very hard for me to decide. But if I don't have access to any of the analytics, I would have to say yes right now. If you forced me to say something, I would say yes. Because I think Chris Paul is just so good. He's an excellent facilitator. He's actually a very good shooter, too. He's shooting, what, 38% from three right now? He was shooting 41% from three last year. He doesn't take a lot of three-point shots, but he's an excellent three-point shooter. He's an excellent mid-range shooter, which is really rare in the NBA. Mm-hmm. But he can do that. He's a pretty good defender. He's dropped off a lot. I know people still think he's an elite defender, but that's not the case. But maybe if he's not doing so much on offense, he can still get back to that level there. The only downside with Chris Paul is that he's often injured as well. So it's possible that
right,
may be
well,
an issue with him. But on the other hand,
his age is a little bit of a downside.
Yeah,
he is younger than LeBron.
So it's just a matter of how long do you think our window is, right? If you think our window is 3 years, then I think Chris Paul is a good option. If you think our window is 6 years, then maybe not. If you think our window is now, then definitely Chris Paul is a good option. He's definitely better than Kyrie right now. I don't think there's anyone's going to deny that.
Yeah. So here are the things that would make me hesitate. So Kyrie Irving is significantly younger. Kyrie Irving's 24, and Chris Paul is 30. Chris Paul has been injured in the playoffs. I mean, look, Kyrie Irving was injured in the playoffs last year, too. But I have hope that Kyrie Irving is going to learn how to keep himself on the court better. I don't think that Chris Paul is going to learn how to keep himself on the court better. Now, maybe... you know, he just won't get the fluke injuries that he's had. I don't think they're fluke. Maybe he just won't get the injuries that he's had. But I think that if I had to say, like, okay, who's going to play more games this season, I think I would pick Kyrie Irving over Chris Paul just because I think...
Right now? I think it's...
Going forward.
Okay, yeah. Because he already missed,
Yeah. Kyrie Irving already missed the first third of the season. But going forward, I think if I had to pick one, I think I would say Irving is more likely to play more games.
It's hard to say.
But it's close. It's hard to say. Like, I don't, you know, I'm not a doctor. I don't know. I would hope the Cavs analytics department have models that can help predict that. I think that Kyrie has some upside that, you know, is yet to be realized. Like, I think his ceiling is basically Chris Paul's level, and maybe a little bit higher. But... you know, there haven't been great reasons for optimism that he's going to reach that anytime soon, especially with his play this season so far. He's been better lately, but certainly not at Chris Paul's level. And so, gosh, yeah, I mean, it's, I feel like trading Kyrie Irving in many ways is saying, like, look, this year and next are the year. And if we don't get it this year or next, it's not going to happen. And I also feel like I just don't trust Chris Paul to be able to stay on the court for the month and a half that is the NBA playoffs. And
yeah,
that makes me sad.
One of the biggest reasons I would want to do it is because he's such a good facilitator that he can put both LeBron... LeBron can play off the ball completely. He does not need the ball in his hand anymore, which is a very good thing, by the way. And then
that goes well with what you were proposing.
Right. And then on the other hand, earlier, he can put Kevin Love in much better positions than Kyrie Irving does right now, which can actually maximize our big three, quote unquote. So it's possible. I don't know. I think Kyrie's an excellent passer. I just don't think he's a very willing passer.
I agree. Look, Kyrie Irving certainly has all of the requisite physical tools to be one of the best of the best. Like, I think his physical tools may even be better than Steph Curry's.
Right.
However, he has not shown any interest in playing defense. If anything, he's gotten a lot worse. And so, yeah, he has a ways to go to get up to Paul and Curry's level. And, you know, if you think that LeBron is going to regress over the next few seasons, and I do think that, it's... Gosh, it's... The reason why even this conversation makes me feel uncomfortable, because it sort of makes you to sort of, it forces you to face certain realities. And I don't want to face them. I want LeBron to be awesome forever, and I want Kyrie to get, you know, super good. But, you know, if you start, you know, attaching numbers and percentages to the probable outcomes here, I think it might be the right call to trade Kyrie for Chris Paul.
Yeah, now that you kind of got me thinking about the downsides, is that the window would definitely be really short if we traded for Chris Paul, because at that point, we've kind of just become the Miami's big three, where they're all kind of about the same age and kind of oldish, right, where when they get to their 30s, it's pretty much over, the window's done.
Look, I've been harboring some hope that in 4 years, Kyrie Irving will be the best player in the NBA. I know it's unlikely, but if he can get that only, if he can get so that he's only like a top five player, and if Kevin Love realizes, you know, sort of the potential and synergies that I'm hoping he can, like, the Cavs window could
be much larger
longer
than you think.
Yeah.
No, it's possible.
You just got,
so I think
to get lucky.
That would be
draft.
My hesitation again to trade right. Kyrie. So yeah. Again, to be honest with you, I'm not 100% sure. I would need to think about it a lot more.
Yeah.
But off the top of my head,
do you think
the trade sounds pretty
it?
Okay?
Do you think the Clippers would do it?
Depends. Yeah, I don't know. It depends on how long they think their window is. I don't think their window is that much either. Looks like Blake Griffin might be out of his way, out of town, at some point.
Yeah, they're a mess. But
and
you know, let's say
they're not getting past the Warriors. They might not even get past Oklahoma City. So
no, they're not. I don't think.
So
no, I think they're the fourth best team in the conference. And so yeah,
they might be looking for a young piece like Kyrie Irving, which would be great for them.
Yeah, I mean, if they trade Blake, like, I'm sure that CP3 will then be on the table.
And I'm sure CP3 would love to come play with LeBron. So.
Yeah, I mean, my understanding is that they're actually close friends. So
I mean, yeah, they are. Yeah. I think he, Dwayne Wade, Carmelo Anthony, and Chris Paul.
Yeah, they have a little pod there. Anyway, I think that's a good place to stop, unless you have
anything. Oh, and then one more thing,
say.
Though.
Yeah.
LeBron loves Kyrie. He loves CP3, but he also loves Kyrie, and he thinks Kyrie has the potential to be the best player in the NBA at some point, too.
Yeah.
So that's another thing. That's another reason why they might not want to trade.
Yeah, I mean, look, this is definitely one of those moves you would run by LeBron James before pulling the trigger on.
Right.
So, yeah, but that's a good point. Yeah, who knows how LeBron would feel about it.
Okay, yeah, we can end the podcast.
Okay. All right, so this has been Episode 5 of Cavalytics. You can email us at cavalyticsnba@gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter at CavalyticsNBA. We're working on doing these a bit more regularly, but at the very latest, you can expect the next one after Thursday's Cavs-Bulls game. Thanks for listening, and go Cavs!